Coming up on today's episode of the Locked On Bucks podcast, David Harrison and Evan Winter of BucksNation.com were joined by your quarterback, Jameis Winston, to talk about his Dream Forever Foundation and the football camp that he hosted right there at the Advent Health Training Center. Of course, today's episode is brought to you in part by Hotels.com. Don't hate like your friend's trip. Book your own with Hotels.com and get rewarded basically everywhere. Hotels.com. Be there. Do that. Get rewarded.
My Dream Forever Foundation focuses on underprivileged kids, and it provides them resources, encouragement, and different opportunities.
You are Locked On Buccaneers, your daily Tampa Bay Buccaneers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Their spirit, their energy, it's very infectious. I just love it, man. It just brings a huge smile to my face.
What's up and welcome back to the Locked On Bucks podcast. I'm James Yarko, joined as always by David Harrison. You can find everything that we're doing over at BucksNation.com and make sure you follow along on Twitter at Locked On Bucks, at Jarko underscore Bucks, at DH82 underscore Bucks, and at Bucks underscore Nation. David, you did something kind of cool the other day.
Yeah, it was all right.
What'd you tell the people what you did? What'd you do?
Well, I mean, thanks to the legwork of Evan Winter over at Bucks Nation and the host of the North and South podcast, which is hosted by Bucks Nation as well. We got some time with Jameis Winston. We got about 10 minutes before he hosted his camp this past weekend, and it was a good time. It was good to talk to him.
Yeah. I got a chance to listen to that before you guys had published it over there at the North and South podcast, which, by the way, if you guys are not subscribed to the North and South podcast, I do highly recommend that you do so. But for those of you that are not subscribed and don't listen to it regularly, we are going to play that interview right now for all of you. So here is David Harrison and Evan Winter joined by Jameis Winston.
You've got the man of the hour, Bucks quarterback, Jameis Winston. Jameis, thanks so much for coming on and joining me and David. How are you doing today, man?
Ev and Dave, I'm doing great, man. Excited for this camp today.
Yeah, dude, we are too. And obviously the kids are as well. So you are obviously no stranger to doing this. You've been doing this type of stuff for a while now, hosting camps, doing foundations, all that good stuff. Were there any experiences growing up that influenced you to create a foundation such as the Dream Forever Foundation?
I started the camp literally 2015, but I started the foundation 2017, man. And I think what really inspired me growing up is just finding a way to inspire others, finding a way to be able to provide opportunities for others. I mean, I'm from a rural town in Alabama, Bessemer, Alabama, and I didn't know I was poor, but I definitely didn't want anyone else to know that they were poor.
And obviously your name is what draws a lot of people to events like this. And the foundation itself obviously has a big draw because of who you are, but it's not a one person show, right? So who are some of the other people that you really want to acknowledge that help put things like this together?
Well, first and foremost, I have to give a shout out to my board members who make this all possible. But as far as the camp, the Pro Camps does an amazing job of initiating, you know, a group of people to help with the kids, with making sure that it's a great experience for the kids from a football perspective, and all their numerous sponsors that help out as well. And my marketing guy, Russ Spillman, we've been working with them for 4 years, and he's been excellent working with them.
You've now hosted the Special Olympics athletes for 4 years. How did it get started? Kind of go into the beginning of that chapter, and what's your favorite part of the camp or the foundation in general?
I met the president and CEO, Sherry Willock, at a charity event in Tampa. And I told her, I said, you know, I had some of the athletes at my previous camps, but I would like to make this thing a theme, a part of the camp, because I just love having the athletes out there. And my initial thought was just having other kids around the Special Olympic athletes to see them, you know, the level of gratitude, the level of drive, the level of desire that not just, you know, their friends and their families, but all kids have to be a football player or just to have fun. You know, some kids get discouraged because they may not have the talent or may not have, you know, the physique, but just to inspire all these kids that anything is possible. You could do anything you put your mind to. Again, one of the pillars of why I created the Dream Forever Foundation. When you think about dreaming forever, you know, it's not just about these kids, you know, having, you know, dreams about Rapunzel and Spider-Man. It's about teaching these kids how to dream, you know, beyond their means, beyond their circumstances, and beyond their abilities, so that even if circumstances are against them, they can still try their best to achieve, you know, something beyond them.
That's great, James. And what does it mean to you as a person to be able to have not only the opportunity, but the means to do things like these and impact people's lives like that? Does it ever just kind of hit you, the impact that you really make on some of these people?
Bro, like, I think that's, I mean, I'm a man of God, and I'm so privileged to have the platform that I do have. And I think these are the things that really matter. You know, I was blessed to be able to play football. I was blessed to be able to make it into the National Football League, man. But I'm beyond blessed to have the platform and the willpower to bring people together, to bring children together, to help create different avenues in my foundation with exposing kids from underprivileged areas and less fortunate kids with technology, providing these camps to provide joy and happiness and inspiration to young kids who aspire to be football players, or even, you know, just inspire to want to go out there and catch a football with me. I enjoy just being present for the kids, because a lot of these kids, you know, they see their role models and they see their favorite athletes or even their favorite celebrities on TV, but they don't have the opportunity to be in their presence, to talk to them, to touch them, and to spend time with them. And I just really, I really enjoy that. And I just thank God for the opportunity that I have to spread at least some light to the world and to these kids.
Man, the world needs more light. That's for sure. You've had what's your most memorable part of doing this? Like, what do you remember most? What sticks out to you, and who's going to be your special guest teammate this year?
Oh, my special guests are always my Special Olympic athletes, because nice. They bring so much energy, to the camp. And you know, I'm lucky to have some of my teammates, show up. I'm not sure of all of them that will be showing up because we just finished mini camp yesterday. So I know I'm have some of them in town. But one of my greatest memories of this camp every year is just really the three things that we go by. We always preach having fun. Always preach effort, and I always preach that teamwork makes the dream work. I want to instill in these kids that they're not alone, you know, and if you feel like that you're alone, you should have a buddy, you should have a friend, or somebody that you can lean on to help you. Because I believe the more that we have people around us that can comfort us, or that can aid us into our daily lives, I think that's the more successful that we become.
So Bruce Arians, it's in his past that he's brought in veterans from his previous team to help his new team get, you know, up to speed a little bit faster. How influential has Blaine Gabbert been so far in helping you get comfortable with the offense, and how comfortable are you in the offense right now?
Man, what's so unique about what BA did was not only do we have Blaine, who's a former quarterback in his system, but we got Byron Leftwich. You know, he's my offensive coordinator. And talk about a real veteran like Blaine. I love Blaine, and I'm happy that we have him as an addition to his team, with him being a previous first round draft pick, and just understanding the pressures that come with that, and just bringing his energy from all the different organizations that he's been with. But having Byron in that quarterback meeting room, playing the position, excelling in the position, and playing under BA, you know, winning a Super Bowl with Pittsburgh, I think that has been a huge thing, and that means a lot to our whole team.
We're going to just circle right back around to the camp. Your son, Antonor Malachi, has he changed your perception of this camp at all, or what does he add? What has he helped you bring to the table at the camp this year?
Well, he just brought a lot of more motivation, man, because now it's bigger than myself. You know, it's bigger than me. It's for him. You know, I want him to see his dad help shine a light into a positive direction. I want him to be able to to be very giving, to be humble, and to be, a philanthropist when he grows up. So I think everything that I do, or everything that he does in his lifetime, is going to be a reflection of me, and I want to make sure that I leave a last impact with his life, so that he grows up and achieves everything that he wants to achieve.
Well, Jameis, have fun today and keep doing your thing, bud. We're rooting for you.
Yeah, thanks, Jameis.
All right, appreciate y'all, man. Y'all have a good one. Thanks, Dave.
All right. Again, a big thank you to Jameis Winston for joining the two of you and joining BucksNation.com. I guess, you know, even though I didn't get to talk to him, I feel I should say thank you, since he gave our website some time. But, I mean, that's what he's doing out there is absolutely incredible, and he's including these kids. And I think one of the things that stood out to me the most, which I thought was really, really great, was I can't remember now if it was you or if it was Evan that asked him, you know, what other players, what other stars were going to be joining him at this camp. And he says the stars are the kids. And the fact that he puts them up to that level, basically puts them up on a pedestal to make them feel like, you know, he's just there for them. They're not there to see him. He's there to help them. And it makes you feel really good about the things that he's out doing in the community. And it shows, you know, this doesn't seem like some facade or some act by Jameis of how much he genuinely loves working with these kids.
Oh yeah. And it's something that, I think it was Mark Cook that was there and tweeted during the event itself that he's not sure who has more fun at these events, Jameis Winston or the kids themselves,
mm-hmm.
you know, because, and he mentioned during the interview that, you know, they just wrapped up their first mini camp, and granted, it's not training camp. It's not a game itself and all that, but you have to think, like, if you ever had a part of your job where you had to kind of relearn or learn new guidance or policies or whatever, sometimes the days where you're mentally trying to come to grips with something in your career that's changed are more exhausting than the most physical days of your career. And that's kind of the things that he's trying to go through, is learn a new system, learn new languages, learn new expectations. You know, Bruce Arians talked about that a little bit. To see a player who the very day after, instead of taking a knee, instead of taking a breather, instead of taking a family day, which I don't think anybody would have blamed him for taking a family day. No, he's out there giving back. And that's something that we talked about, you know, the fact that his teammates help him out is just amazing too. But, you know, he feels so blessed to be able to do all this stuff. And here's the fun part about it. Something I knew that during the conversation, he was going to say how blessed he feels, because this is a man who truly feels blessed. And when you truly feel that way, it kind of becomes almost, I don't want to say a motto, but like a slogan, you know what I mean? Like, it just becomes a normal part of your speech pattern, because the intro song, the instrumental, I don't know if you noticed it, you know, our listeners may not have put it together yet, but when they hear it at the end, I put the outro and the intro together before I ever even talked to Jameis, before we had the conversation with Jameis, because I knew it was going to fit something that he said. And that just kind of shows the consistency of it.
Absolutely. And, you know, one of the other things that kind of stood out, in fact, Joe Bucks fan even picked it up, was, David, you had asked him about what kind of help Blaine Gabbert has provided, having been in Bruce Arians' system before and played under him and everything. And Jameis started talking about Byron Leftwich and how helpful it's been that Byron Leftwich is his offensive coordinator. And this is a guy that played under Bruce Arians and won a Super Bowl under Bruce Arians, and really helping him grasp and implement this offense. Now, it seems like, I mean, we've seen Jameis in the past. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He's never been really shy of any kind of confidence, but it seems a little different this time around. It seems like I don't know if he's more comfortable in this system than he was in Dirk Cutter's, or if it's that confidence that his head coach has in him that's really starting to spill over and give him even more self-confidence that this system is tailored for his strengths and it is tailored for this team. And under Bruce and with Bruce's brain and Byron's brain, you know, Jameis is going to be put in a position to succeed like he's never succeeded before.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I really feel like, yeah, exactly. And we talked about this a little bit when Byron was first hired, that, you know, how critical it was going to be to have a former NFL quarterback and highly functioning NFL quarterback in the coaching room and as an offensive coordinator for Jameis and Byron Leftwich. And really the Blaine Gabbert question kind of stems from, you know, reading his book and then, you know, tying that back to his history. Like, it never dawned on me until I read Bruce's book, and he literally has written in there that he likes to bring veteran quarterbacks from who played under his system in the past to help young guys, specifically going back to the Cleveland Browns and trying to help Tim Couchlearner's system. It was actually fairly successful until Tim got hurt. So then when Bruce came in and, you know, there was a little bit of an uproar about, you know, because Lovie Smith did the same thing. He came in, he brought in a lot of former Bears. So Bruce Arians comes and he starts bringing in some former Cardinals players, and fans kind of got that uneasy pit in their stomach because they've kind of seen this, you know, they've heard this song before, seen this dance before, and it didn't turn out so well the last time. So I really wanted to ask him that just because it ties it back into the history where this isn't just Bruce Arians bringing back guys that he knows because he likes them or he had success with them somewhere else. He's bringing them back because they know his system and he knows that they can help the new players running the system be successful. So it's not about we're with Lovey. Like, it was about Chris Conte coming in and being a starting safety. Whereas with Bruce Arians, it's more Andre Ellington. Part of his role is going to be helping Rojo, helping Peyton Barber understand what Bruce Arians is going to want and what this offense is going to want out of their running backs. And then you look at Jameis Winston, and now he's got not only one quarterback who has executed what Bruce Arians' vision is, he's got two former quarterbacks. I was very happy that he turned the conversation from Blaine Gabbert to Byron Leftwich, because when we found out we were only going to have time for one football question, because the point of the interview was remind everybody that these players are out here doing more and they're impacting the community in ways they don't ever really see it reported on very often. So we wanted to be a part of that and get that, help him get that message out. So that's what we wanted to do. But we also, you know, you have Jameis Winston on the phone, you have to talk football. But because of the time constraints, Evan and I actually, so something that you guys don't get to see behind the scenes, because we didn't know how much time exactly we would have with him until shortly before we got on the phone. We had probably, I would say, a dozen questions lined up for him. And I would say that 2/3 of the questions were foundation-based. They were community service-based. They were personal, like, you know, what motivates him to do these things? What kind of value does he draw personally from these things, as well as, you know, what he gives back to the community? But the other third of those questions were football questions. And there were many that we wanted to get to. And I'm sure there are many that you guys would have appreciated if we could have gotten to them. Byron Leftwich was on that list. So when we found out we were really only, when we found out how much time we had, Evan and I were texting back and forth, kind of you and I have done, James, during interviews. We're messaging back and forth, kind of trying to figure out on the fly how we're going to fit everything in. Evan and I were doing the same thing. And we're like, man, we probably only have time for one football question. And I looked at the list. I was like, all right, I'm going to shoot this one. And Evan was like, yeah, man, thumbs up. I agree. So the fact that not only did he answer the question I asked him, but then he actually ended up in a roundabout way answering a question that I would have asked if we had more time was awesome. And it was definitely great, good information to get, and just kind of shows how influential this new coaching staff has already become with Jameis Winston.
Yeah, and kind of the last thing that I'll add, I mean, David, you know, a big part of my day today was spent at my mom's birthday party. And, you know, whenever my dad and I are around each other, we're inevitably talking sports. And, of course, we're talking Buccaneers. And he had brought up a column from Martin Fennelly of the Tampa Bay Times talking about how Jameis is striving to be kind of the new Leroy Selman in terms of the community service and the giving back, you know, as part of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and probably even beyond. And I don't know how it was phrased in the column. I didn't read it. I just kind of had my dad telling me about it. And, you know, he told me that Fennelly basically said he has a really long way to go, which, I mean, of course he does. You know, Leroy Selman was a Buccaneer for a very long time. And after that, he was crucial to USF getting a football program. You know, he put in decades of giving back to the community. So, of course, Jameis Winston has a long way to go. But if Jameis Winston's goal is getting to Leroy Selman's level in terms of giving back and being, you know, a big part of this community and reaching out, especially to kids, I mean, I applaud it. That's incredible. That's exactly what you should do. You should, you know, anytime an athlete has a platform and is able to give back and able to do things, you should look at what athlete played for this team that gave the most to this community, because I want to do even better. And you know, they don't have to. You know, I guess saying that they should do it, you know, is kind of saying that they, you know, they should be forced into giving back. If that's not what they want to do, that's not what they want to do. But if you're going to give back, why not strive to be the best? Why not reach out to these kids? You know, and Jameis is putting, you know, technology in schools that these schools can't afford or these kids can't afford. Yeah, he's sending, you know, things home to the kids because their parents can't afford it and he doesn't want them to fall behind in school and things like that. It's amazing work. It's phenomenal. So I love the fact that he's striving to be like Leroy Selman in that facet, because you know, all it's going to do is make everybody better.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, definitely. And I mean, you summed it up perfectly. It's great. Yeah. And I mean, and just to get to the chance, you know, to talk to him and all that stuff, like I said before, I mean, obviously, you know, you want to talk football, and hopefully we're going to have time for that, you know, either at training camp or before training camp. But the purpose of what was happening that day is not football. It's what football provides him the opportunity to do. So, yeah. So to be able to do it was awesome. But I'm sure that some people listened to it and probably were a little disappointed that there was only one, you know, football question. But we did have to fit that one football question in because we knew that, you know, obviously you want to hear about football. But yeah, I don't know. I don't know if I need to, but just kind of explaining the reason we went the route with it. Hopefully everybody else appreciated and enjoyed it, because I mean, it was great for Evan and I to get a chance to talk to him about why he does what he does, and just hearing it through his voice. You can definitely tell he's doing it because he genuinely cares, versus some of the other reasons that, you know, maybe players do some of these things.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. All right, David. Well, I think that's going to about do it for us on this episode. Of course, if you want to weigh in on the Jameis Winston interview, or you have any other questions, or, you know, like David said on the last episode, we start doing an ask me anything kind of deal. We're in the slow period. There's no football going on for like the next 6 weeks. And just a heads up, I know a lot of you have gotten used to our Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday schedule. My fault. I'm throwing a little wrench in that this week. There will not be an episode tomorrow, but we will be back on Wednesday to make that up for you. I have something going on with my son, Monday night, can't record, but we will be back on Wednesday with an episode so that you guys don't miss out. You're still going to get your 4 a week for as long as David and I can come up with topics. The podcasts are going to get a little weird, I'm going to venture to guess, but of course you can send those in to 813-444-5841, or you can DM the Locked On Bucks Twitter account. Make sure you're following us at Locked On Bucks, at @JArco_Bucks, at @DH82_Bucks, and at @Bucks_Nation. Check out everything that we're doing over at BucksNation.com. Please make sure you subscribe to the podcast, whether it's on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, our good friends over at Himalaya, you know, wherever you subscribe to your podcast, please make sure you hit that subscribe button. And if you can, leave us a review over at Apple Podcasts. Leave us 5 stars. And, you know, we would really appreciate it. It helps other Buccaneers fans find us. So, hope you all have a safe, wonderful, enjoyable day. And thank you so much for joining us right here at Locked On Bucks.
Blessings on blessings on blessings. Look at my life, man, that's lessons on lessons on lessons. I treat the beat like it's a reverend. I tell the truth like, Father, forgive me. These are all my confessions, man. This wasn't luck, it was destined. I done lost homies who been with me since Ed, and Eddie, who flipped like confetti. And then when you back, they back to call you dog. That shit can get petty, but don't get no dap to me now.